now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
As we broadcast from the Sydney penthouse, looking at my window to an absolutely glorious night and the traffic moving steadily across the Sydney Harbour Bridge, it is great to have you along this evening. Lounge leader Coop Cooper with you, and this week Mr. Gary Wells is stopping by talking Shaft. We've got a story of a criminal who became an accidental mannequin in our stuff segment, and a look at the World of Swank gig guide, plus all the best lounge and exotica from across the globe as we kick off with Mr. Moai and the Tiki Heads and Shaken and Stirred on the Cocktail Nation.
The Cocktail Nation.
Desire, and I know
Cocktail Nation of Voodoo 5 with Surrender. Make sure you check out the interview that I did with Skip Heller a week or so ago, talking about his new venture that is Voodoo 5. Very fascinating stuff. Lounge leader Coop Cooper with you. I'd love to hear from you as well. If you'd like to shoot me an email, simply email thecocktailnation@gmail.com. Hello to Sharon, who's listening to us in Pennsylvania this evening. Also to Michael, who's listening in the south of Sydney this evening as well. Thank you so much for your emails. And like I said, on previous occasions, I will always reply to your emails. Michael's a proud Dodge owner. He's got a 1958 Dodge that he's very, very proud of. And thanks for the photos too that you sent through. Let's continue on the Cocktail Nation with Mr. Gary Wells now.
Cocktail Nation. Words with Wellesley.
You're a librarian, Mr. Wordsworth. You're a dealer in books and 2 cent fines and pamphlets and closed stacks and the musty insides of a language factory. Words, Mr. Wordsworth.
We need to warn people.
He landed and was away in a blur of motion. Now nobody could catch him. Nobody could hurt him. This was his way in the world. These dark streets were his place. An exaltation of power fed his body to the pit of his stomach. He missed that. He ran, flew. They would find the alley, the doorway, the hidden place in the moment that they needed it. They might be cornered in the rooms of Harlem, but not in the streets. This was really home. His 3 minutes were up. Hey gang, I'm Gary Wells from Vintage Leisure at SoulRideBlog.com, and I'm here with another book recommendation for the Cocktail Nation. This time we're looking at Shaft by Ernest Tidyman from 1970. Someone is looking for private investigator John Shaft. He walks the streets of New York City looking for clues as to who it might be. He hits all his usual haunts and talks to all his usual contacts, and they are legion. His black brothers, who work the newspaper stands and the shine parlors, all hold Shaft in high regard. He is the man who made it, crawled up out of nothing to stand tall in the world, and they all want to help. He gathers intel as he walks. He runs into Lieutenant Andarazzi, who also wants to know who is looking for Shaft. Andarazzi and the police department don't want any trouble. Shaft is Andarazzi's pipeline into the black community. While Shaft is not too eager to help the cops, he admits he doesn't know who wants him and knows of no trouble brewing, if any. Eventually, Shaft pinpoints the amateur sent to roust him. Only he does the rousting. Turns out Harlem ganglord Knox Persons is looking for Shaft. The Italian mob has kidnapped Persons' daughter in an attempt to take over the rackets and the vice of Harlem. Persons knows that Shaft is tight with black militant leader Ben Buford. Knox hopes that Shaft will broker a deal with Buford and his army to help fight the mob. When the Italians lay a brutal beating on Shaft, he is all in and plots to burn down Thompson Street with the mob in it. Cleveland's Ernest Tidyman was a copy boy before enlisting in the army and working in public relations there. In 1969, one of the few black literary agents at the time suggested Tidyman, a white man, take on the job of writing about a black private detective in New York City. Tidyman has said that the blacks he knew were smart and sophisticated, and he conceived of writing about a hero who uses his, quote, black rage as one of his resources. The novel Shaft was published in 1970 to much acclaim, and Tidyman followed it with 6 sequels, issued between 72 and 75. On the strength of this novel, Tidyman was commissioned to write the screenplay for The French Connection, for which he won the Oscar. He then scripted High Plains Drifter and a few other films. For writing the Shaft books, Ernest Tidyman became, and remains, one of the few white men to win an Image Award from the NAACP. The author was married 5 times, once to Motown soul singer Chris Clark, and he died, in appropriate writer fashion, from complications due to alcoholism in 1984. He was only 56. The novel Shaft is good, and if you're like me and are a fan of the film, you'll be pleased to see that much of the movie's attitude found its inspiration in the novel. Me, personally, I had to get over the fact that the novel takes place during the beauty of spring, whereas I connect with this story in the winter. This, of course, is down to the opening scenes of the film being shot on location in New York in early 1971. But from the book's opening passages, we see the essence of the whole novel, that John Shaft is in control, that he stalks these streets as a master and as a man who has made his own way, one who has conquered the system and cut out his own place in the world. He has a spring in his step and he is winning. And as for the streets themselves, Tidyman lists them all, and the neighborhoods of Midtown Manhattan, Times Square, Greenwich Village, and environs become characters unto themselves. Here in the book you will find all the grit, all the action, and all the cool of the movie. Speaking of which, Shaft was commissioned for a film adaptation before it was even published as a novel. There had been talk of casting a white man, which seems odd, until unknown model Richard Roundtree was chosen. The film was a major hit and has become a cultural touchstone, giving birth to the genre of blaxploitation, a discussion of which you can find at my website. The film also featured an iconic score from my man Isaac Hayes, work for which Ike became only the third African-American to garner an Oscar. The theme from Shaft is today perhaps better known than the film, and certainly the novels. Shaft's big score, also a novel and screenplay from Tidyman, followed, and then came the excellent film Shaft in Africa in 1973, a movie that successfully placed John Shaft in James Bond territory. Next up was the Shaft TV series, and here is a tale of the oddity of 70s television programming. Shaft on the small screen took the form of telefilms that were broadcast on alternating Tuesdays opposite another series starring James Stewart called Hawkins. After 7 TV films during the 73-74 season, the plug was pulled. The year 2000 saw John Singleton bring Shaft back to the big screen, starring Samuel L. Jackson in the title role. Jackson plays the nephew of Uncle John Shaft, played by Roundtree, reprising his iconic role. Finally, to this point, in 2019 there was another film released also simply titled Shaft. Sam Jackson is back, and Roundtree is of the party again, this time sporting a classy white beard. Sadly, Richard Roundtree, who had survived breast cancer with a double mastectomy in 1993, died of pancreatic cancer in October of 2023. But this whole world sprang originally from Ernest Tidyman and his excellent original novel. Here is a case of a white man providing the black community with a strong, heroic, and honorable character. So to wrap up, I can highly recommend Shaft by Ernest Tidyman. You can find plenty of copies for sale at Abe Books. If you'd like to read a plethora of well-written book recommendations, you can head over to my website. Can you dig it? I'd like to thank Coop Cooper and Cocktail Nation. Once again, this is Gary Wells from SoulRideBlog.com, and I'm encouraging you to pick up a book.
Words with Welze, Cocktail Nation.
Bye. keep doing what you're doing, man. Love the Cocktail Nation.
I'll just load it all up on the podcast player and just on the, my phone and just listen through a bunch of them at once.
Cocktail Nation.
Above they shine so bright, the mystery of their fading light that shines upon our caravan. Sleep upon my shoulder as we creep across the sand, so I may keep the memory of our caravan. This is so very exciting, and you, you're so inviting, resting in my to the magic charm of you beside me here beneath the blue. My dream of love, it's coming true within our desert caravan. Upon our caravan. Oh, now sleep upon my shoulder as we creep across the sand, so I may keep the memory of our caravan. To the it's coming true. Within our desert caravan, within our desert caravan, within our desert caravan.
Cocktail Nation with Rob Dixon and his version of Caravan. Some new music there for you. Now, here's something you might like to check out. Lounge Life magazine, your free retro magazine, updated regularly. Isn't that the cool thing about today? And something like Flipboard, where basically the magazine can change as the day goes by. Lounge Life magazine is brought to you by the Cocktail Nation. And we've got the 10 best cocktail cities in America, according to bartenders. What happened to Arbet, the world's smallest street-legal hand-built micro-car? You got to see this thing. And the truth behind the real J. Robert Oppenheimer. So check that out via the website, cocktailnation.net. Links via the website.
Today, much more stuff going on.
Okay, here's a name for you. Elmer McCurdy. He was an inept train robber. He once tried to blow up a safe to get some silver coins and ended up melting the safe and the coins. Well done. Another time he tried to rob a train, but they were only able to get away with some whiskey and about $15 from the conductor. After that, he was holed up at a farm, drank all the whiskey, and got into a shootout with the sheriff, and he died in 1911. Not exactly the greatest robber. But that's not the end of the story. They took him to the funeral home. He was embalmed with a lot of arsenic because at the time they thought it would be a while before someone would claim the body. And they were right, because nobody came to claim Elmer. And the funeral director was like, well, I'm making some money off this guy. I'm going to put him on display as the Oklahoma outlaw and charge money to see him. Not exactly the most ethical funeral director. You even actually put money into his mouth in order to experience the outlaw. The funeral director's kids actually used to put Elmer on roller skates and scare other children with him. Who the hell is this guy? Eventually, two men turned up claiming that Elmer was their brother. And they said, we must take him home. But they were not his brother. They were sideshow operators. The hustlers continue. Elmer was on the circuit now, and he went places. He was sold a few more times and ended up in a museum, and they rented him out. He was in a movie theatre lobby as a hophead who tried to hold up a store and was shot in order to promote an anti-drug film. But it had been decades and he was starting to look a little bit rough now, missing a couple of fingers and his hair was falling out. They even rented him out to a display at Niagara Falls and they sent him back because they thought that he was a very, very creepy waxwork. So, in reality, it had been a long time since people realized this is a real dead guy, not a mannequin. Eventually, he got sold to the Pike, which was a rundown pier amusement park in Long Beach, California. And he was hung up in the Laugh in the Dark, which was their ghost house fun ride. And the Pike was a terrible park, but it was very, very cheap to film at. So in 1976... there was a filming of The $6 Million Man, and they're in Laugh in the Dark, moving stuff around. And they move this painted neon orange dummy, and his arm breaks off. And it's a real arm. And it's a real dead guy. He was painted orange, incredibly mummified. Eventually taken to the coroner, identified and buried in Boot Hill in Oklahoma, under the concrete, so that he can't go wandering again.
Well, that's about it, Stuff fans. We'll have more for you at another time. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The Cocktail Nation.
Thank you.
On the Cocktail Nation.
Thank you.
Cocktail Nation, Tiki Delights, Yakushima Serenade, also played Lords of Atlantis and Sands of Mauritania. Lounge leader Coop Cooper with you. Official website, cocktailnation.net. If you've got a gig on that you'd like me to promote, I would love to help you out. May 17, Alika Lyman Group at Tiki Caliente. Coming up for Tiki Oasis in Arizona on the 26th and the 27th. That's the Friday and the Saturday. We've got the Martini Kings performing May 21, Engelbert Humperdinck at the State Theatre in Sydney and the Opera House as well. The Hypnotiques perform the last Friday of each month at the Golden Tiki in Las Vegas, Nevada. And Kitty Chow's Jungle Cats perform all the other Fridays for Happy Hour at the Golden Tiki. So check out those terrific gigs right across the globe. And like I said, if you've got something, I would love to hear from you as well on the Cocktail Nation.
On the Cocktail Nation, Copegues Deep.
Are people from Connecticut called Connections? And if not, why not?
Very deep. Cocktail Nation.
going? This is Ricky Gannett.
Aloha. This is Andy Mazzell of Tiki Joe's Ocean.
From Waikiki Beach, this is Philip Roberts, the author of Waikiki Tiki, Art, History, and Photographs.
Hi, this is Tommy Tremolo from Spy 5.
Hey, everybody, this is Marty Lush, and when I'm drinking, which is often, I'm listening to Cocktail Nation.
back in here.
Now.
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 But I don't want to stick around to find out. Not even for 1/7 of $4 million. He sold out Monte Carlo for the touch of a woman's lips.
Cucuba.
The Cocktail Nation.
Life I live, I always live with a little Tabasco. So when I give, I always can give with a little Tabasco. Tabasco is a sauce that's hot. You add it to a thing that's not, suddenly the thing that's not has got some Tabasco. Ole, life is better that way. Ole, just a little each day. If you are shy, you just apply a little Tabasco. Find out why whenever you try a little Tabasco. So if your life is just a fiasco, all you need is the spice of a little Tabasco. With dynamite in every ounce. But it's knowing where to stop that counts when you've got Tabasco. Ole, I said give it away. Ole, the psychiatrists say. If you feel old, you're good as gold with a little Tabasco. If you are cold, it's all controlled with a little Tabasco. So if you find you're letting the grass go, you can take it from me, it's the way you should live. It's a sure guarantee to get back what you give. A little Tabasco, a little Tabasco in your life.
Cocktail Nation, the lovely Linda Carone and Tabasco. Next week on the show, Mr. Jason Whiten is back talking all things spies with Spy Vibe. And I'm going to leave you with a Sydney band called the Akka Daiquiris. Now, where does that name come from? Well, here in Australia, you might know the band AC/DC. They are known as, I suppose, a bit of a nickname as Akka Daiqua, and thus the Akka Daiquiris. See what they did there? I'm going to leave you with Cocaine. Stay hip.
she don't like cocaine. She don't lie, she don't lie, she don't like cocaine.
Yeah, one more for me, fellas. Yeah.
She don't lie, she don't lie.